Hello, I'm Kurt Becker. Thanks for joining me as I take another stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. He made four career starts and earned $45,000, and he never raced beyond his two-year-old season. Yet he became one of the most influential stallions in American history. His name was Ray's a Native. Foaled on April 18, 1961 at Bosque Bonita Farm, the site of what is today Lane's End Farm in Versailles, Kentucky, Ray's a Native was a strapping chestnut colt with a white star on his forehead. His sire was 1953 Horse of the Year Native Dancer, while his dam was three-time stakes winner Ray's U, a filly which had been bred by the historic Country Life Farm of the Pons family in Maryland. Bred by Happy Hill Farm of Mr. and Mrs. Cortright Wetherill, Ray's a Native sold at Keeneland as a weanling in October of 1961 for a then-record price of $22,000. The purchaser was Mrs. Ellsworth Augustus, who would then sell him as a yearling for $39,000. The man who purchased Ray's a Native as a yearling was Lewis Wolfson, a former University of Georgia football player who had gotten into the horse business just 4 years earlier. The board chairman of Merritt Chapman and Scott, a marine construction and salvage firm, Wolfson would ask future Hall of Fame trainer Burley Park to end a 10-year retirement to train the colt, and Park would agree. Employees at Wolfson's Harborview Farm would later remember Ray's a Native as a lazy colt, which feared the starting gate when first put into training. He seemed to lag about 2 weeks behind his stablemates in terms of his progress. But the difference came when his rider was given a whip, and it was said that just a light flick of the whip sent Ray's a Native from 10 lengths behind his workmates to 6 lengths in front. Sent to Hialeah Park in Miami soon thereafter, Ray's a Native displayed two traits which concerned his trainer. One was that he nearly threw his exercise rider into the trees each morning as he headed to the track. The other was that he continued to show a reluctance to enter the starting gate during schooling hours, one day going so far as to lay down on the track behind the gate just to make his point. But Park worked with the colt and somehow got him to overcome both quirks. In an era when Hialeah would offer maiden races at 3 furlongs in February for two-year-olds, Ray's a Native made his career debut at the South Florida track on February 28, 1963, under future Hall of Fame jockey John Rotz. The big colt won with ease, covering the 3/8 of a mile in 33 2/5 seconds and defeating 13 rivals at even money to win by a margin of 6 lengths. Ray's a Native would head next to New York, and his sparkling reputation would travel with him. His second start was to come at Aqueduct in late April, but a spectacular 5-furlong work in 59 seconds flat at Belmont Park scared virtually everyone else away from the entry box. Ray's a Native's second career start would finally come at Aqueduct on May 4, 1963, and he turned lots of heads in the paddock prior to going to the track. There were observers who said he looked big enough and strong enough to be a 3-year-old. And after he won by 8 lengths as the 1-2 favorite and broke the track record for 5 furlongs in 57 4/5 seconds, sports writer Pat Lynch called Ray's a Native one of the fastest juveniles he had seen in New York in a decade. 4 weeks later, on May 31st, Ray's a Native won his stakes debut, capturing the juvenile stakes at Aqueduct and equaling his own track record at 5 furlongs. And on July 17th, he ran his mark to a perfect 4-for-4 with a win in the Great American Stakes at Aqueduct, getting 5.5 furlongs in track record time of 1:02 3/5 seconds and missing the world record by just 1/5 of a second. He had run an opening quarter that day in 21-3 and an opening half mile in 44-1. But on August 2nd, during a 6-furlong workout at Monmouth Park in preparation for the Sapling Stakes, Ray's a Native took an awkward step and sustained an injury to a tendon. He would not race the rest of the year and, in fact, would never race again. A panel of 155 sports writers and broadcasters in the annual Turf and Sport Digest poll would name Ray's a Native champion 2-year-old male for 1963, despite his being retired before any of the major East Coast races for juveniles had been run. Hurry to Market, winner of the Garden State Stakes, would be named champion in balloting by both Thoroughbred Racing Associations and Triangle Publications. Retiring to stud at Spendthrift Farm in Lexington, Kentucky, where he would spend his entire stallion career, Raise a Native had sired 74 stakes winners by the time of his death at age 27 in July of 1988. He would sire world record-priced yearlings on four occasions at the Keeneland Summer Sales, and he would sire the Sale Topper at Keeneland July five times overall. All told, some 23 Kentucky Derby winners have been direct male line descendants of Raise a Native, including 2023 winner Mage. In 1978, Raise a Native's son Alidar and his grandson Affirmed battled each other throughout the Triple Crown. Other direct male line descendants of Raise a Native include leading sires Unbridled, Smart Strike, and Curlin, all through his son Mr. Prospector, as well as Kentucky Derby winning filly Genuine Risk, Dual Classic winner Ali Sheba, Belmont winner Easy Goer, and Horse of the Year Zenyatta. Raise a Native has been gone for 35 years, but his legacy lives on as one of the most influential sires of the modern era. Please join me again next week when I take another stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. For HRRN, I'm Kurt Becker.